is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
You're listening to Talking Heads with Naughty and Mary Jane. Mary Jane. Only on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Kane is in the building.
Yeah! All right, all ready. The show goes on all night. Till the morning we dream so long. Anybody ever wonder when they would see the sun up? Just remember when you come up. The show goes on.
Talking Heads with Nazi and MJ is brought to you by Burger King, Fine Threads, John's Department Store, KFC, Nazi Johnny's, NRG Nutrition, St. Andrew's School, and Prince Masters.
Have you ever had the feeling that you was being had? Don't they that make you mad? They treat you like a slave, put chains all on your soul and put whips up on your back. They be lying through their teeth, hope you slip up off your path. I don't switch up, I just laugh, put my kicks up on they desk, unaffected by they threats, then get busy on they. See, that's how that shit tell me, man. That's how my daddy raised me. That glittering may not be gold, don't let nobody play me. If you are my homeboy, you never have to pay me. Go on and put your hands up, when times is hard, you stand up. L.U.P. the man, cause a brand that the fans trust. So even if they ban us,
we're back at you on the Tuesday, January 13th edition of Talking Heads. Your boy Naughty along with MJ in your company right up until 6 p.m. on this Tuesday edition. Happy Tuesday, everybody. Back to work. Holiday over. You know, another day, another dollar. Holla. What's going on, MJ? MGZ. Looking juicy in the pinstripes, too,
honestly,
by the way.
Honestly, today feels like a Monday. I don't know why, but it does.
But I really love it. Very nice.
Okay.
Can I not pay a compliment?
Thank you so much for that compliment. I like your hat.
Why do I feel like Rodney Dangerfield all of a sudden?
What, no respect? I like the hat.
Thank you. I haven't rocked the hats in a little while. And that's what I think about your top, too. Okay. Very cute. Very around. But yeah, we got lots to talk about on this Tuesday. Big game tonight, too, when we talk sports.
I know you're excited, right?
Well, I'm excited for you. Can your Spurs go 4-0 against the Thunder?
That'll be interesting. And then I'm sure they'll feel a particular way about it. I'm sure that SGA will feel a particular way about it because he seems to be convinced that they're better than us and their record doesn't show that. So we'll see.
The best way I could put it, those two squads remind me of back in the day when it was your Spurs and my Lakers, like two evenly matched squads that match up well. The fact of the matter is you got a lot of young guys on the Spurs. So they have to cut their teeth. But a lot of veteran players are like, mad. They're getting chafed up by this young squad that plays cohesive.
Hey, it happens.
And it starts with your coach. He does That's a great true. Job. He commands that heart of being a short little dude. He commands that huddle very well. We'll talk about that in the 5 o'clock. We got plenty to talk about, you know, before we get there. And if you want to chime in, if you want to be part of the conversation, here's how.
Here's how you can become a talking head. Brought to you by BTC.
Text lines powered by BTC, 422-GR96. That's 422-4796. Phone lines open in New Providence, 323-6232, 325-4259, 325-4316. Toll free in anyone in the family islands, 242-300-5720, 242-300-5720. Stream us live, take us wherever you want to go, guardiantalkradio.com. That's guardiantalkradio.com. Cable channel 969, BTC Flow channel 612. That's how you get it in. That's how you get it on for fresh news, small talk all day, right here on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. All right.
We have a text already. Someone says, Predman, what's the name of that song? If you mean the song that opened the show today, that's called The Show Goes On by Lupe Fiasco. So there you go, texter. The show goes on.
It always goes on.
By Lupe Fiasco. It does indeed always go on.
On the flip side of the break, I forgot to mention that we do have our special guest today, the FNM ratified candidate for Angliston, Miss Heather McDonald will be here.
Okay.
So we'll have a convo with her right up until 5 o'clock. But like I said, plenty to talk about. And it starts with the headlines.
It's time for Headliners. Everything that's making headlines in the 242. Brought to you by the Fine Threads.
And here's what's blazing up the pages of the Nassau Guardian News and Views of Madison's 1844, all brought to you, of course, by Fine Threads. 3,000 acres for port deal. OPM confirms crown land for Meghwana Port. Now, I'm just going to read this because I have to make a disclaimer. I know Mr. Outen. He's part of my football picks gang.
Oh, okay.
He's run very close competition over the last 4 years since we've been doing the NFL pick videos. So in all fairness, I have to get that call from Johnny. He's traveling. He said he would call me this evening when he gets touchdown.
To talk more about this poor deal?
To give me the breakdown.
Meghwana?
Yeah, to give me the breakdown.
Okay.
Because, you know, the joke was, as soon as I knew, I know it. It's Tuesday, football up. No, I know what you texted me for. But anyway, the government has granted a 25-year lease to Global Lead Consultant Group. Is that lead or is that led?
Likely lead.
I want to make sure. Southern Group Limited, GLC, for approximately 3,000 acres of crown land at a nominal rent for the purposes of the development of the port at Meghwana. The OPM confirmed on the weekend. Last week, OPM announced the government has entered into a public-private partnership for the port, which it called a major maritime project intended to strengthen economic activity in Meghwana and across the Southeast Bahamas.
3,000 acres.
When I think of Meghwana, but didn't a previous PRP administration give 5,000 acres away in Meghwana to the I Group?
Yeah, I mean, I recall it was something like that. Does that group still have it?
Whatever happened to them acres?
Yeah, it's a lot of acres.
So I want to find out exactly, you know,
from Mr. Outen. Did you get a chance to read this earlier? Still a lot of questions. We'll see. We'll see if they address it and give us more information.
And you know, that there's always been a lot of back of the house talks about ports in Meghwana in that region. So you never know.
Yeah, I mean, Bahamians want to see development on all of the major islands, but I don't see how you do these things without buy-in from the, or at least, you know, feedback, some consultation from the local Meghwanans, but perhaps that's...
We'll see. We have to see.
I know when this was announced last week, it didn't seem like the deal was that far. We were talking about, you know, still having to go through figuring out, ironing out the details. And then even in this article, you know, the timeline, I can't wait till we speak to Johnny so we can get the details. But the timeline is giving our Lucaya, or Grand Lucaya. It's giving, it's going to be long.
Yeah.
It's going to be long. So that's what it's giving.
I'm also noticing there's a lot of announcements of development and a lot of crown land acreage. Yeah. Given away in a lot of PPPs. And if you drive in the West, you see about two or three significant billboards with, you know, that just make you wonder.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of things happening.
A lot of developments happening. And, some, you know,
some beneficial to Bahamians, many not.
Some of the veterans, you know.
I mean, if we're being honest.
Air to the ground and what I call gnarly politico. A couple of the veteran dudes, not really gnarly, ain't long now, watch, but you see all these development and thing and all these signing, better watch it.
But we'll get the details. We'll get that conversation lined up so we can get some details.
Shantytown demolitions resume on Eleuthera, government says. Mm-hmm. Listen, Eleuthera, warning, peligro. I know from two and a half years now in Abaco. They do a great job knocking down the shantytown, but then they leave the debris behind, and then it turns into a dump.
Yeah.
Roscoe Thompson could attest to it. Abaco could attest to it, so don't let it happen in Eleuthera. Hardy Johnson, I know you're listening. Don't let it happen in Eleuthera, my brother. Get your tennis racket now. Get the posse together. Rick Fox says he will run in St. James. I wonder when they got
we
that,
have to bring that Rick picture in for another conversation.
Get a different picture for them to use.
This is interesting. This is very interesting. So I would love to have another.
Very interesting St. James.
Now that we have this announcement.
It screams independent because if you look, a couple of the other major parties of you know, the rumors have come out who's positioning where as potential candidates.
Yeah.
So, Got to keep an eye on that. That's very interesting. Very, very interesting.
VAT will be removed from all food sold in food stores. Well, not all food, just all unprepared food. I think both of the dailies kind of, and I know it's kind of like wordy to put it like the unprepared food, but that's what it is. It's not all food because, you know, some of them have delicatessens where they serve cooked food. And I don't think that that is, as a matter of fact, I know that that is not going to go to zero. But what do you make of this? This is all a part of the Prime Minister's big address last night. I gotta admit that I thought the address, you know, Monday, holiday Monday, 8 p.m. on Majority Rule Day, I really thought that we would get more out of that address last night.
More substance?
Yeah, like more addressing of issues. You know, in a lot of countries, right after the New Year, they do, like in the U.S., they do their State of the Union, right? And they just talk about, I mean, a plethora of different issues. We got a little of that, but not a lot. And there are many issues that weren't addressed. So, yeah, 5% down to zero on the VAT. I mean, I'm not mad at it.
I hear that. And you know what song just rings in my head? Eddie Murphy, Saturday Night Live. Imitating Buckwheat, singing, nothing, pum, nothing, something. He want to be with me. Oh, nothing, pum, nothing, need nothing.
I can hear it in my head. I can hear it in Eddie's voice in my head. But yeah, so like that and then some.
Because I broke out the abacus. I broke out the calculator. I called our oldest, who is and our youngest too, but he was watching the game. Oh, this was brilliant in math as well. Just like you. I was like, go look, help me break this down. And he was like, nothing from nothing.
As a Grand Bahamian, I thought he would address at least the Grand. Weren't we told? I mean, let's be honest. The date has been getting pushed back and back and back and back.
That in Parliament.
But it was a national address. Is Grand Bahama not a part of the Bahamas? Are the other islands and what's happening to them not a part of the Bahamas? I really wish that just some specifics on those islands that have really been going through a rough time these past decades would have gotten a little bit of the attention, and particularly the Grand Bahama, because we were told now that some stuff would be and that's how it was said, you know, some stuff could be happening in January.
Things could happen.
It's still January. I mean, we're almost halfway through, but I would love to hear what's happening with that particular deal, because we keep hearing these announcements, but, you know, like where's the beef? You know, like... Where's the beef?
Old school Wendy's commercial.
Old school Where's the beef?
All right, let me get these texts in and then we can get to the break. Naughty and MJ, please tell this administration I've been through Christmas and New Year's without a refrigerator, so I need my money. They owe me next time. I give it out.
Ooh.
Naughty PIP candidates don't come. Yes, the invitation has been extended, Texter, on numerous occasions. The doors are open. The platform is open to any party. Provided you want to come on and present properly and answer questions.
They seem a little shy about that answering questions part. And it's not just here. You can tell by how they fail to answer questions in
everywhere.
The general public that behave.
But then they party. That's why there's a lot of infighting, so I'm hearing, allegedly.
Mm-hmm.
Naughty and MJ, can't you see those billboards are strategic? They've been placed right now with different images. But when the election starts, they're going to be replaced. With the PM, they're going to switch out to PRP campaign billboards.
Oh, Lord. Oh, goodness.
Good afternoon, Naughty and MJ. Naughty, the Steelers fell asleep. No. The Steelers didn't fall asleep. They got beat to sleep. They got beat into unconsciousness. They got beaten into a comatose, dribbly mouth, messy diaper state. Okay? And in the 5 o'clock hour, I'm going to slow roast you suckling Pittsburgh hogs. Like the suckling Pittsburgh hogs that you are. Welcome to the Loser's Lounge. Naughty Dumas told you it was short-lived. You shouldn't have got in from the week before.
You think the old man is out of there, finally?
Who?
Gonna hang up his cleats? Not Tomlin.
Tomlin resigned. Tomlin was like, deuces.
I'm talking,
Aaron Rodgers?
Rodgers.
He has to go in a hole for 2 weeks and smell his bodily discharge and then come back out and make a decision to the world.
He seems like one of those people who just never wants to retire, you know? I bet if another team gave him a shot, he would be back.
We've seen enough of that movie over and over
but
and
has
over
he?
Again.
That's the question.
Somebody need to remind him. Anyway, we'll talk about your Steelers text in the 5 o'clock hour. That has to be a by-election joke. Why would you want to drop VAT in April? Because you know it May is going to be an election. That's got to be clearly a joke, Naughty. That's clearly a joke.
Yeah. I mean, you don't want to say it's cynical, but to have heard the cries of Bahamians for 4 years when VAT was added to certain items, particular items that, you know, lower-income households rely on, depend on. When you hear 4 years, oh, no, well, don't worry, it's fine because we took it to 10%, but then those particular items went up 10%. And then finally, after 4 years and going into an election, you now say, okay, yes, I hear your cry 4 years later, and I will take it to zero now. I don't blame Bahamians for being like, whatever, because it, you know, it does feel a bit cynical. It does feel a little bit like four elections. So while we appreciate it, I mean, I certainly do. And the thing about it is, I hope that this, it makes it difficult for any administration to put VAT back on, you know, unprepared foods, if we're being specific. But it is cynical to have done that, to have allowed people. And it was, I mean, it's bad now, but coming right out of COVID, right, opening up, like, we've lost a lot with that one policy decision that finally they realized, well, maybe we should adjust this. I don't know.
Naughty and MJ groceries in Madswell already zero rated.
Yes, we know. We know. And that's why it is, yeah.
All right, we're going to get to the break.
We have a special guest.
Flip side of the break, we're going to have our special guest in studio with us. We're going to have a conversation with the ratified candidate for the Angliston constituency, Miss Heather McDonald. All right, all coming up on the flip side of the break as the Tuesday, January 13th edition of Talking Heads continues right after this.
You've been through, no matter what you into, no matter what you see when you look outside your window, brown grass or green grass, picket fence or barbed wire, never ever put them down, you just lift your arms higher.
Put more money back in your pocket with a Fidelity debt consolidation loan. Why pay more when you can pay less? Reduce your monthly debt payments down to one low, easy payment. Apply for a Fidelity Debt Consolidation Loan today. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
John's Shoes and Accessories is your one-stop shop for all your footwear needs. You will find what you're looking for among the growing collection of classic and trendy styles with new arrivals every week. John's covers the whole family and has great prices, helpful and friendly customer service. Your experience shopping with us will be time well spent. Shop with us online at www.johnshoes.com. John's also now carries small home appliances. So come on into John's, located on Rosetta Street in Palmdale and Carmichael Road West. John's, we put fashion at your feet.
Crunch boring lunches and enjoy real food at a real good price with KFC's value deals. For $5.95, you can get a famous bowl and drink or a one-piece chicken box. For max value, grab a value box. That's a piece of our iconic chicken, nuggets, cheesy mashed potato, a buttery biscuit, fries, a dessert biscuit, and soda, all for just $9.95. KFC value deals have got the crunch that you're looking for. KFC knows value, and it's finger licking good.
You're listening to Talking Heads with Naughty and Mary Jane.
Mary Jane.
Only on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM.
It's time for the buzz. What are you buzzing on? Brought to you by John's Shoes.
In the air for the father that's there. Three in the air for the kids in the ghetto. Four for the kids that don't want to be there. None for the trying to hold him back. Five in the air for the teacher not scared to tell those kids that's living in the ghetto that the holding back that the world is theirs. Yeah,
we're back at you on the Tuesday, January 13th edition of Talking Heads. Your boy Naughty along with MJ and your company right up until 6 p.m. on this Tuesday edition, post-holiday Monday edition. So shake it off, people. Back to work. We all must go. And our special guest joining us on the buzz, all brought to you, of course, by John's Shoes. The F&M ratified candidate for Angliston, Ms. Heather McDonald. Glad to have you here. Welcome aboard. Welcome to Talking Heads.
It's good to be here, Naughty.
And of course, you know, let us know exactly, you know how Bahamian people go, who are your ass, who are your people ass? Let us know who you are and bring us up to snuff as to what's going on with you and the Anglican constituency.
Well, my name is Sid. I'm a professional in the career field with a strong background in law, lecturing, as well as corporate services and business development. That's what I do by trade. But my passion is community leadership and youth development, as well as small business development. That's my main focus. And those are some of the things that we've been doing in Anglican for the last 3 years or so, just to empower the people in the community, because we know that the Over the Hill is a community that is seen as the less than, you know, poverty driven, you know. But I always say the one thing that can get us out of poverty is if we educate people. If we teach people how to fish for themselves, how to feed themselves, how to build wealth for themselves, that's the only way, that's the only answer to get out. You know, not one time, couple dollars. We're there to help. We're there to do kitchens and all that is good. Shout out to all the people who volunteer to give back. That's great. But we need to start making our people self-efficient so they can really, really make an impact to the communities and develop them in a rich and expansive way. So in Anglican right now, we're on the ground. We're beating the ground hot because I am fully aware that there is one that has been sitting in that seat for about 26 years. You know, Miss Hannah Martin, wonderful person, love her character. But at the end of the day, the PLP had that seat for 48 years. And I was on the ground yesterday and I'm hearing the same thing. They said, we don't see a difference in Anglican. And I say that if anybody in Anglican is listening, you had 48 years and you continue to choose the same group of people every 5 years. So if you want to see real change, you have to, comes a point in time where you have to make a turn where if you really want to see a difference. You know, I think the old people say you can't put new wine in old, throw the wine bag and get a new wine bag so you could have real innovation, fresh ideas, and moving forward. That's what we're trying to do in Anglican right now.
What inspired you to run for Anglican?
God. I grew up in the church. I love God with all my heart. And I was one of those, you know, the people who's complaining all the time.
Right.
I don't like the government doing this. I don't like the government doing that. And I remember one time I was in youth meeting and I got rebuked by my youth pastor. He said, you around here complaining all the time. Why don't you do something about it? And from that moment, I got involved in the youth arm of politics. And I got involved with other civic organizations like Girls Brigade, the Youth Empowerment Program. I was a part of Jane and Grand Mahama. So that's the only way we could bring change if we become a part of the solution and get our hands dirty and get actively involved. You know, it's something that they like to say in the United States, you got to pull yourself up from the bootstraps and get to work. Because trouble is always going to be here, but it don't last always. And the only way it ain't going to last always is if we get to work.
I know that Anglican has faced a lot of social as well as economic challenges. What kind of plans do you have that can actually, you know, make a difference in Anglican? You know, maybe give them more opportunities, maybe improve safety in that community. What kind of plans do you have for Anglican?
One of the main things we have to face is we have a broken social services system. And this is not just for Anglican. This is everybody in the Over the Hill community,
okay,
or anybody who is in that desperate need for assistance. Past governments and current, they're doing the best that they could. But until we realize that we have to really fix the system and make a change and cancel out some programs and bring some new ones, we're going to have the same complaints over and over again. Housing is a serious issue in Anglican right now. You have a lot of persons who's homeless and who don't have anywhere to go. And social services, and there are no place to put them.
So what's happening in those instances?
In those instances, those persons either have to go in a hotel. Sometimes I may put somebody up.
Right.
But that's only temporary.
Right.
You know, I can't put you up forever.
Right.
You understand? And this is what the government does as well. They'll put them up for a short period of time. And then what? So one of my plans and one of my visions of what we need to do for social services is we have to actually invest in creating some sort of temporary shelters, but we need to reform it in a way where persons come in and they get out, meaning that you fall on hard times, you come in the shelter, you give them a period of time. Listen, you're in this shelter for 3 months. During that time, you're going to get some life coaching. You're also going to get some job training. And we're going to help you get employment. So by that, the end of the 3 months while you're there, you get out. You have a lot of persons who are in these shelters. They're not Bahamian nationals. You know, I get that a lot from Bahamian persons. They say, Ms. McDonald, I'm a Bahamian. I have my four kids, and we're trying to get in a shelter, and there's a lot of non-Bahamians living in these shelters. And I put it to the test. I didn't believe them, but I went.
Okay, and what did you see?
I saw exactly what they said, but first, they said the people at the gate to not let you in. But I had somebody, I'm not going to call their name for their own privacy, who was a guest at the shelter because I was their guest.
Okay.
I was able to go in, and I saw the majority of the persons in there were non-Bahamian. And this is what we're facing. We have a social service system that is not actually assisting Bahamian people. And I understand that we have to be humanitarians, okay? I get that. But I am of the firm believer of Bahamians first. So there's a lot of things that we have to deal with in Islington. Immigration is a serious problem. Another problem that we have in there is crime.
Right.
The answer to crime, I like to say, is you got to educate your people. Idle hands is the devil's workshop. We had programs, I remember, back in the 90s coming up. You saw a lot of programs. You had basketball tournaments. You know, you had boys programs, and you actively saw these things in the community. You know, they were present. You don't see that anymore in Anglesen. You know, I know a few, there's a few programs, and God bless them. They're attached to church. I know the youth empowerment program, I'm a part of YEP, where we were at R.M. Bailey. That was my district for about 3 years there in Anglesen. And there's a few other Pathfinders and a few others, but at the end of the day, we need to invest more in our youth programs. And I'm not talking about giving them $1,500 and expecting them to stretch that for the rest of the year. It's not going to impact. You know, we're facing in a situation right now where teachers have to come out of their pockets to assist students, and where you have youth programs there, they have to get donations. And we have a wonderful ministry there that says they're offering all these things, but we're not seeing it to its full effect.
I would imagine that the constituents of Anglesen, just like everyone everywhere else in the Commonwealth right now, is experiencing a really hard cost of living crisis. I think that's affecting most all of us. Maybe 1 or 2% don't feel it as hard as the rest, but I think most of us are feeling it. Did you get an opportunity to watch the Prime Minister's address last night?
Yes, we all eyes was on that address, you know.
And what are your thoughts on, you know, the address itself and the fact that he says that VAT is now going to 0% on unprepared foods? Mm-hmm. And, you know, he talked a little bit about property taxes. But just your general thoughts. I would think that the food and the VAT would be more, you know, upfront for persons that are, you know, struggling like we most of us are.
Well, I'd like to thank the Prime Minister for finally listening to the opposition, because the opposition was saying for the last 4 years, take VAT off of bread basket items. Mm-hmm. They've been saying that for the last 4 years, because you cannot play me. You increase VAT, you drop VAT. You put something on, you take something off. That is going to affect the economy in some sort of way. All right? And I feel like he's like, I'm going to say like my young people to say, you playing in our face, Matt. We had 4 years of struggling going to the food store. Every time you go to the food store for a family of four, your bill coming up to about $300, $200. Okay?
At least.
At least. And that's food for 2 weeks. That's food for about 2, maybe 3 weeks if you stretch it out. And now you're coming back at the 9 hour, because let's be real, election is going to call pretty soon to say, hello, Bahamian people, all of good, please listen to me. I shall remove that off of it. And we also decreased it. And I'm like, you really didn't do anything. If you were really concerned, it should have not been on in the first place. You understand? You could have taken some sort of counteractive measures last year, or maybe even the year before, and say, you know what? We looked at it. We was wrong. My bad, opposition. Y'all was right. And this is the place where we need to get in governance. Just because the FNM had something that was good, you can't just come in and say, you know what? Because they did that, I'm now going to remove that and cause the Bahamian people to suffer. That's the same thing they did with the utility bill. We had a cap on utility bills. They came in, they took it off, the hedging cap. They removed it, and everybody's bill is over $300, $400, $500 now. And they said it was lowered, but I don't see it, MJ.
It's hard to see.
I don't see it.
Everything's just so expensive. But back to the VAT and its removal now from unprepared foods. You're right. The Free National Movement had it off of breadbasket items, which covered a lot of items.
As well as medication.
But is your party willing to continue to keep it at the rate that it has now been set at, which is whether your party is ready to say that, you know, VAT will stay at zero rated on unprepared foods?
Yes, we're willing to do that. And we're going to take it off medication and hygiene products, feminine products and baby products as well. Because medication is very expensive. I have a father who's ill. Buying his medication is like, that could run you into $200, $300 easy. Especially persons with cancer patients and have other ailments. It's very, very expensive. So that is very helpful as well.
Right.
So we're going to remove it. We're definitely going to remove it because we understand that this is an economy. We live in the Bahamas. Everything is expensive except your salary going up. Okay? So you have to really be considerate to balance it off. So the cost of living, you could actually afford to live in the Bahamas. And I could say for the last 4 years, it's been a struggle for everyone, whether you're doing well successfully or not so well. Every person in the Bahamas has been feeling this for the last 4 years, how expensive everything was.
A question in regards to Anglesen. I mean, you mentioned earlier that it's been in the same situation in the same state for 48 years. I've had Texans say, Naughty took quarter for what it is. It looks like water on Sarajevo. It looks like water. So my question is, are there some impactful things, if you become the next member of parliament for Anglesen, that you can hit the ground running with that can actually affect change in Anglesen? Because it seems like Anglesen needs a lot of change. You mentioned some of the things, but some of the texts that I'm getting, you know, the concerns are, it's an election ploy in regards to the VAT off food. If the PRP win, it'll go back on. Check your voting register in Anglesen. And what are the actual boundaries for Anglesen? That was a couple of the questions that came through. But touch on the boundaries for me, and then let me know some of the impactful things that you can change right away to improve Anglesen.
Okay, the only slight change we had in the boundary was polling division number one, and that's on Independence Drive, which is Blue Hills. That was once in Anglesen. That's now in Garden Hill, so that's removed. Everything else has remained the same, and there's been no change other than that. That's about 500 and something, 600 and something voters that was removed out of the constituency. And where?
And now they're in what, Garden Hills?
They're in Garden Hills now. That'll be, so polling division number one, I don't know what's going to name in Garden Hills, but that is now in Garden Hills. So we're down to, we had 11 polling divisions, and so we're down to 10.
Now, what are some of the things, like I said, that Anglesen needs impactfully, like right away, that can help them improve? And like you say, experience a little renaissance. Because when you mentioned it, when I was smaller, my grandpa came, used to take me, and we used to go to Anglesen. We used to get peanut brittle, and we used to get candy, and the stuff was going on. He used to buy fish in Anglesen. So Bahamians know it. Mm-hmm. So and to see that, to hear that for 48 years, it really hasn't improved. I mean, you think about it, like, for real, Anglesen. And I'm not trying to talk down on Anglesen. I'm wondering why you're going to perennially put the same administration in, or party in, that has kept you this way for 48 years. And I'm taking nothing away from Miss Hannah Martin, friend of the show. I think she's a great lady. But like I say, the team that you play for right now has neglected Anglesen. How does Anglesen get, you know, revitalized and jump-started, so to speak?
You know, it's a systematic problem. That's why I don't blame so much the MP. I believe that the PLP just doesn't care about the Overhead Hill community. We've seen it in past successive governments. During our last administration, we had an entire program focused on the Overhead Hill, where we helped persons who were entrepreneurs. We had a great cleaner program where we were painting buildings, revitalizing the area. One of the things I will do running off the bat is we have to clean up the community. I'll be doing an extensive team up the cleanup program because there's a rat problem. And I know because I walk in. I walk in the grounds and they come out and they greet me sometimes, you know. So we will be assisting persons where we could offer assistance with getting rid of the pest problem in the community as well as cleaning up the area. And we want to put that in the power of the community. Because if you as a community person, as a resident, if you're a part of what's going on cleanup-wise, you're going to keep it clean. Because the government could come and move this derelict vehicle and move that and put a dumpster there, and it's going to come back again. But you have to get the persons involved. So I'm going to have a team up to clean a program with persons who live in the community, where our goal is to make sure the area is beautified. We love different competitions. In the area, different garden programs for every section, polling division, so we can make sure the area is clean, because we have to put the power back in the hands of the residents. Another thing that I'm very passionate about is a program that I will be doing called Fresh Start. You have a lot of persons in Angleston who went to jail. They come out of jail, and I hear this all the time from them. They say, "Mom, it's McDonald. I don't want to go back. I want one job. They don't ask me, "Hey, Miss McDonald, give me that little thing." No, they said, "Hey, I want to work. You know, I want to work so that I don't have to go back doing what I did in the past." But unfortunately, sometimes their criminal record, they didn't have the doors open for them or the exposure to certain things. So I'm going to create something called Fresh Start, where they'll be able to get training in certain facets, not just trade, but also how to speak in an interview, you know, how to get your finances in order, you know, how to apply for a loan, you know, educating them on how to budget a household. And that's something that I want to consistently do, whether I win or not. I will be doing that program because that's something that is needed. If we're saying that we want persons, what we do, what upsets national security now, I don't feel like we reform our prisoners. They go to jail and they spend their time, they come back out and they say, "Okay, now what?"
No rehabilitation.
There's no rehabilitation. So we have to put in place proper programs so they don't go back. And that's what the Fresh Start program is aiming to do, to keep them off the streets, to get them involved in their community, to get them to be business persons or whatever it is that they want to do, whether they want to be a barber, a carpenter, whether they want to be a motivational speaker. Those are the things that I intend on doing for them in the community. Those are the things I'm running with.
That particular constituency, Angleston, right now they have a very high-profile incumbent who's been there for a very long time. What's it been like for you on the ground? Do you feel that they're receptive to change?
Very much so. You know, I'm very honest with how my beloved Angleston people are. The thing is, it's not that they don't want change. You know, they want to see consistency. You know, and the great thing is I've been on the ground from 2022. So a lot of persons already really got familiar with me. And when I first started, it was a trust issue. And I could see it now taking its toll because they see me still there. Even before I was ratified, I was there. Before I was even thinking about being ratified, I was still working in the community thanks to the program, the youth program I was a part of. So what Angleston people want is consistency. But I still say you got to step out on faith. You have to, this is going to be a faith walk with me and Angleston. You can't just say, "You know what, better the devil I know." I told one of the constituents.
Not that we're referring to Ms. Hannah-Mara as the devil at all, though. I get it.
I'm speaking to what they said. They literally said this to me.
All right.
And I said, "But you don't realize that you're still dealing with the devil regardless. So you have to take a turning point. You have to step out on faith and say, you know what, I really want Grammy and great Grammy voted a particular way. I'm going to stay this way because it's up to, because a lot of those persons are dead and gone and they went on to glory. So this is right now. This is a millennial, Gen Z, Gen X election right now. They can make the decision of who could be the next government in 2026.
Let's pivot a little bit to national issues. If elected as the next representative for Angleston, you know, your primary function and primary job will be as a legislator. So I have a couple of questions there, but first, let's go
to the
phone
line. Get the
call
in, and then definitely
yes.
To those questions.
Talking heads.
Naughty MJ, what's up, man?
Hey, what's
good
going
afternoon.
On?
Mr. McDonald, how are you today?
I'm doing well.
You know, you can change your name to the Giant Slayer. But I want you to be encouraged. You know, I want you to continue doing what you're doing. Stay on the ground. Stay knocking on people's doors. Don't take no one for granted, and you will prevail.
I appreciate it.
So
yes,
just stay focused and just continue doing what you're doing. And soon, the name will trend calling you the Giant Slayer, because that's what you're about to do a short order.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, caller. So I was talking about some of the national issues, and, you know, your primary function would be as a legislator. What are some things that are in your mind right now, if you're so elected, that would be one of the things that you would want to tackle in terms of laws that you think is important for the country right now?
Oh, man. Now, I'm going to say this. Let's do a disclaimer.
Okay.
This is for Heather.
Okay.
This is me.
For Heather.
One thing
I like it. Go ahead.
That I am going to advocate for, honestly, is we need a ministry just to deal with entrepreneurship. I believe that the Bohemian economy is one thriving of very talented and creative people. I felt like SBDC is a good beginning, and we could do so much more.
What would that look like? I'm intrigued. I've never heard anyone say
it needs
that.
Its own,
what would that look like?
It needs its own ministry because we need, if we want to come out of the third world status, we always say we're a third world country, but we have rich first world tastes, you know? But if we want to come out of that, we need to create a ministry that's focused on entrepreneurs, not just giving some grants, and that's great, but that's going to develop it in a holistic way. So I would have a ministry just for entrepreneurship.
What is is SBDC?
That's SBDC, what, Small what, Business Development
What Center. Ministry does that fall under now?
Finance. That's under finance.
Ministry of Finance,
right now,
okay.
Yes. And it's a great program. You know, the F&M was the one who put that in place.
In the last administration?
In the last administration. Okay. It's a really great program, I must say. And even the present government, let me get him some kudos.
It actually gets a big
budget. I liked a lot of the seminars that the present government did during their term with regards to SBDC. So claps to them for that. You know, but we started it. When we did it, it trickled down. It was not just small businesses, but they broke it up into parts under the Minnesota administration. We dealt with persons who had smaller businesses under $5,000. That's the hair braiders, the barbers, the nail technicians, graphic artists. And then we catered to tourism. Then they had another section that was for persons who needed more bigger developments, you know, like the person, I think there was a gentleman who started his own car company and so forth. So
what do they budget to SBDC? Is it $50 million? How much is in the yearly
every
budget?
Every budget, it changes.
It changes?
It changes.
Okay. What's the average that SBDC is roughly?
I'm not sure. But okay. I know they gave out, they have it on their website. I think in the last three terms, they might have had about 20-something million.
Okay.
Because they have, like, this countdown clock on their website where they show. But you'll have to check that, double-check that to see. But
so you would want to expand it? Would it be something that gets more resources than the 20-something million?
It definitely needs more resources, especially when it comes to boutique resorts in the family islands. Mm-hmm. This is why it needs to be its own ministry. We have a lot of persons in the family islands. Many people say they have their generation property. Mango bill on that and build couple villas. So you can have your, and put that on Airbnb on a website and bring some tourists in. That is something that I definitely think we could do because, like I said, it was a great start. Mm-hmm. But when you make something its own ministry, it gets so much more attention. And that's something that I'm very passionate about.
Okay.
All right, couple of questions here off the text lines and obviously Angliston related. Good afternoon, Nori and MJ, and to your guest. There are potholes house right next to Hannah Martin's headquarters, and police and customers park on the sidewalks where the small children have to walk to and from school.
They said number house in a school close?
It says a number house is right next to Hannah Martin's headquarters, along with a junior school and potholes. And police and customers park on the sidewalks where the small children have to walk.
Yes, that actually is true. I believe they're speaking about E.P. Roberts.
Okay.
It is true. I mean, ain't nothing for me to say. It's true. It's true.
Oh, gosh. Firstly, good afternoon, Nadia and MJ, and to your guests. Firstly, they could start off with an immigration raid. It's disturbing that most of the people in government-funded shelters are foreigners. This inglorious administration could do something to change it, and nobody can explain anything.
You spoke a little bit about, you know, your experience at the shelter. What are your thoughts on immigration and what's happening in the country right now? Are we in a crisis, and what is your party prepared to do? I know we've heard about SHIELD a lot, but just tell us some of your thoughts.
I have my own thoughts on immigration. Yeah, so I could get in trouble when I say
But tell us your thoughts.
Here's the thing. The laws is right there. It just needs to be enforced.
Okay.
You know, we are in an immigration crisis. No doubt about it. No doubt about it at all. You go to the hospital, you go to social services, there are more persons speaking Creole than Bohemian. You know, they're clogging up the system, you know, and it's most unfortunate. And like I said, it's a humanitarian thing. We want to assist persons who is here, you know, because we care about people. But at the end of the day, the Bohemian person should not be disadvantaged for someone who's here and they're here illegally. That's the problem. But one of the things we need to do with the system, and we have to clean house in immigration. That's the first thing.
I'm trying to understand, we know that we have seen and that there is a problem. I think saying that there isn't a problem, willful blindness at this point, right? But I'm trying to understand, like, the logic behind what you're seeing. So you have persons come in illegally, mm-hmm. perhaps, and then they're put in shelters. Like, what is happening there? I thought it was, you know, detention and then repatriation. So how is it that, you know, our resources are being, are so scarce now because we're sharing it with a lot of persons coming in? Is it that they're in for a particular amount of time and then deported? Like, what is really happening to your understanding?
Well, with regards to social services, whenever someone goes in the shelter, it's supposed to be for a period of time.
Okay.
But the problem with that is they don't give them anything, any way to get out. That, like what I was saying, some of the programs that need to be instituted to get them back on their feet. You know, but social services.
So you're an illegal immigrant. How are you, like, back on your feet? You're going to be given, you're going to be regularized? Like, what's
for
happening?
I really believe that we have to do something about immigration, and we need to reform our laws with regards to the application process and what we're doing with persons who are here. It's unacceptable, because if you could walk into NIB as an illegal immigrant, you could walk into hospital and walk out. That's a systematic problem. That means that the persons who are in place aren't doing anything, and they're just sitting back and saying, oh, well, that's just another illegal. Let's just allow them to continue to clog up the system and move on. And that's what's been happening in social services. When you have, and I can't even get on the social workers, because if a mother comes in there with kids and they're homeless, that could touch your heart. I'm a woman. MG, you're a woman. That could touch your heart.
Oh, of course.
And we're going to try to help those people. But the problem is, in helping those people, you hurt your own people at the same time. So we need to find a way where we could solve these problems. And it's a system problem. It's the system that is broken, and we need to clean house.
So, but what is the actual policy? Like,
they're not supposed to be able to get assistance, you know?
That's my question.
But the thing is, you know, when something has become
normalized
so long,
right,
it's almost like that is now the rule, and the rule of law no longer applies. And that's what's happening in immigration. That's what's happening in social services, because at the end of the day, we're leading by hearsay law, you know? You're inside the office, and Ms. Shirley say, no offense to whoever named Shirley.
Right.
Shirley said,
just go into that.
Just the way we've been doing it for the last 10 years, and we can continue doing it like that.
Right.
So you're operating on that. When as you go back to the policies and you're saying to you, hold on, this is not what the policy is saying.
Right.
This is not what the legislation is saying. But Ms. Shirley's saying, but that doesn't matter, because this is how it's been operating. So we need to bring persons in these ministries who are going to make sure that policies are being enforced.
What do you make of the minister's performance?
Which minister?
The immigration, and then we could talk about social services.
Let's let her answer them in the 5 o'clock, because we're right at news
we're
time.
At 5, okay.
So we'll get into the 5 o'clock. We'll get news out of the way. We'll get those two questions in and wrap up with our special guest, FNM ratified candidate for the Angleton constituency, Ms. Heather McDonald. We'll wrap up with her, and we'll talk sports. We got to talk Major League Baseball offseason news. We got to talk NFL and coaching changes. Got to talk NBA. And I got some Steelers to roast. So y'all don't run. Muff, go get your neighbors. Turn the speaker toward your neighbor's yard. Turn up the grill. We about to roast some Steelers in the 5 o'clock hour. All right, that and more coming up as the Tuesday, January 16th edition of Talking Heads with Naughty and MJ continues right after this.
They make you mad, they treat you like a slave, put chains all on your soul and put whips up on your, hope you slip up off your path, I don't switch up, I just laugh, put my kicks up on they desk, unaffected by they threats, then get busy on they, see that's how that shit tell me, man, that's how my daddy raised me, that glittering may not be gold, don't let nobody play me, if you are my homeboy, you never have to pay.
Refined style with elegant taste, then fine threads is your place. If you want those slacks hemmed or just taking the waist, then fine threads is your place. If you want to look suave and debonair everywhere you go, like you're supposed to be in a video. Want to step out and look great, then fine threads is your place. Refined style with elegant taste, Then fine threads is your place. Is your place. Is your place.
Crunch boring lunches and enjoy real food at a real good price with KFC's value deals. For $5.95, you can get a famous bowl and drink or a one-piece chicken box. For max value, grab a value box. That's a piece of our iconic chicken, nuggets, cheesy mashed potato, a buttery biscuit, fries, a dessert biscuit, all for just $9.95. KFC value deals have got the crunch that you're looking for. KFC knows value, and it's finger-licking good.
Looking for a school that's international, proudly Bahamian, and truly invested in your child's future? Bring the kids and join us at the St. Andrews International School Open House on Saturday, January 17th at 11 a.m. Meet our passionate teachers, tour our campus, and experience a vibrant, welcoming community where students are supported, challenged, and inspired to lead with confidence. Come see the St. Andrews difference for yourself. Visit standrewsbahamas.com or call 677-7800. St. Andrews International School, ethics and excellence.
You're listening to Talking Heads with Naughty and Mary Jane.
Mary Jane.
Only on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM.
You've got it locked to the Tuesday, January 16th edition of, not January 16th, January 13th edition of Talking Heads.
Jumping ahead.
Yeah, I jump in past Peter to the day after.
It's random. Oh, goodness.
But it is the Tuesday, January 13th edition of Talking Heads with Naughty and MJ, our special guest, F&M ratified candidate for Angliston constituency, Ms. Heather McDonald. Pearlie will be chiming in short order. Mr. Producer, keep an eye out for him. He'll zoom in. We're going to talk sports in a little bit. But just wrapping it up briefly here, you had
I was going to ask you a little bit about the ministers, but let's expand it a little bit. What do you think of the performance of this administration over the past 4 years? Elections are really close, and that's the question that Bahamians will have to ask themselves. You know, has this administration lived up to its promises? Mm-hmm. Have they done a good job? And if not, what's the answer?
I'm just very disappointed. Areas that I could kudos for, where I felt like they did some things right. One of those things is I liked how they said that they were going to bring some renewable energy in place. I know they're working on that. Kudos to that. So you got to get, before I hit them bad, let's talk about the little good they do. I saw that several of them built some community centers in their community. I thought that was very great. I know Nassau Village has completed one, and Mikhail Barnaby, great. I hope that they keep that same energy. However, I have not been, and they did some things with housing. You know, some persons were able to move in their home. Great. But where the running of BPL is concerned, I have an issue with that. I felt like they failed the Bahamian people where immigration is concerned. The public services is in chaos. You know, the unions have, there's a lot of unions that have been striking in the past. I know they made certain promises. The unions have put forth their petition. They've been at the table with certain government entities, and they're still waiting on some answers. And some promises is still lingering. This is the government that I could take 3LW's quote from this. I'm sick and tired of all these broken promises. They promised a lot. You know, we had the Golden Yoke program. We don't see what just growing up over the building almost. You know, the road, potholes in the roads, Ministry of Work has been a big disappointment. Water and sewage has failed the island of Eleuthera. They still have water issues right now going on.
Which is
on.
Crazy in 2025, 2026.
Yes, it's most definitely. I felt like this government, they've been treading water. That's what I think they've done. They feel that they have done just enough, but I don't think they have just enough. I just feel like they're treading water. They've been treading water for the last 4 years. They have not done anything innovative. They finished a lot of the projects that the F&M started, and I would like to thank them for finishing off everything that we did with the cruise port and Celebration Key. Thank you for that.
Mm-hmm.
But they destroyed the economy in Grand Bahama with what they did with regards to the Grand Nugayan. Persons have, I believe some persons have already been started to get let go there.
Many persons, they were skeletal.
And I'm from Grand Bahama, so I'm very passionate about Grand Bahama. They said there's a lot of construction going on in Freeport, and okay, but ask the persons, how many persons are still unemployed in Grand Bahama? And I'm going to tell you a lot. Okay, that was an economy that thrived off of tourism. And you have, there's no more Grand Lucayan, there's no more Princess, there's no more Xanadu. Club Fortuna hanging on by a thread. The Lucayan Beach Resort closed down. That was the one in Port Lucaya. Pelican Bay holding on by a string. Thank God for Dolphin. The Dolphin Resort.
Okay, he was
They holding on by a string. The tourism economy has been destroyed. You know, Celebration Key is helping somewhat with jobs, but that's not trickle-down money. We have to do something about the tourism because we're going to see it. And I was speaking to because I teach, I lecture economics at the college. And I was telling my students this. I said, listen, all these keys the government has been selling to all these cruise ports, that is going to negatively affect the mainland tourism. Because what's going to happen if I could get $400, Naughty, to go to four islands? You think I come in the Nassau to stay for a week? No. I go on the cruise ship for $400. So by them doing all these keys, and yes, they're going to give a couple people jobs, but what about the straw market worker? What about the restaurants? What about the various entertainment, tourism attractions we have on the mainland? What's going to happen to those? And I'm going to tell you, if we keep this trend with all these cruise port keys, it's going to negatively affect us because when we look at the number, Chester Coopers looks at every time he quote tourism is doing so great, the only thing he talks about is the cruise ports. Let's talk about how the local tourism is doing in the family islands and on the mainland. And I'm going to tell you, it's not doing as good as it once did.
Well, MJ, what was it? Yeah, 86% was the breakdown that you came across?
We've talked about that extensively. Hopefully the minister will do something different to turn that situation around. You know, it's funny that you talk about Celebration Key in particular, and because you're from Grand Bahama, how does it look? Because we've heard the Minister of Foreign Affairs recently talk about the unintended consequences because the vendors surrounding, the vendors in Port Lucaya, I heard the other day that 90% of them are on the ropes. They talk about unintended consequences. So how bad is it in Grand Bahama right now for those vendors?
It's very bad because I know the chairman of the PLP says that Grand Bahama is doing great. And he's always in Sorbas in Freeport when I go there. So he know go in Port Lucaya, which was once a very busy.
I grew up in Port Lucaya. Yeah,
you
I know.
Have
it was very different.
You have straw stalls in Port Lucaya that don't even bother opening. Let's
because
not even talk about the bazaar.
There.
What happened to the thing Ginger Moxie said they were going to do in the bazaar? This
right.
African hub thing.
Yes.
And nothing.
That was years ago.
Another broken promise
so
that not, we are
so
sick and tired.
Nothing is happening in the bazaar? Nothing?
Nothing. The only thing happening in the bazaar is the
it
weeds.
Gets more and more bizarre. Yeah.
And then somebody causes a fire now and again and the building burns down for whatever reason.
It's so sad. Yeah.
It's so sad. I think that Grand Bahama is still suffering.
All right. We got to get to the break because obviously we got to talk sports. We appreciate you being here. Obviously, this is the first time in me and MJ. You've been on with Pearlie before. You're no stranger to Talking Heads. Nuestra casa. Es tu casa, meaning next time you want to get on, we'll definitely be available for you because we want to hear more about Angliston and some of the programs, especially the youth empowerment programs that you plan to introduce in or out of office. And that's good because we need to get to the youth. We're losing too many young men between 18 and 35 to gun violence, gang violence, and the streets. And there's a lot of opportunity for that. You don't know who the next world champion pool player could be, the next doctor or lawyer. From humble beginnings, we got to give these kids opportunity, and they want to work. So we definitely need to talk about that in the future. Now, quick question. You mentioned a lot of some of the good that the previous F&M administration had accomplished. We know they did some good. We know they had some bad baggage, too. That's why they at where they at. We ain't gonna call no minister and point no finger. How is it compared, this new administration under the leadership of Michael Pintard? You seem fired up. A lot of the candidates that we talked to seem very passionate and fired up. Is he invoking what he needs to in you guys to get you? Because you seem fired up. You seem unified despite the noise in the market. And you got that focus. Can you speak to what it's like to being on the team of Mr. Michael Pintard?
It was
with him as leader.
I would say that it was refreshing. I was actively involved in the F&M under the administration. So I could tell you this. Michael Pintard is very approachable. He brought energy and charisma to the F&M that has been gone from since for quite some time now. And it's great that you have a leader who has an open door policy, who will actually have a conversation with you. A lot of all of the constituency associations is back up and running and functioning. You know, that wasn't fully apparent under the form administration.
Right.
But everybody is working and we're excited now. And we have somebody who's actually listening to us and working along with us. And that's why he won leader two times, straight.
Right.
You know, a lot of persons, they saw a lot of about 8 people who was complaining on the sidelines, but you had over 600 people who was just our guy. So I always like to tell persons when they say the F isn't unified, I say, listen, we have 2 conventions, 1-2. The man was voted in not once, but twice, and by great numbers every time. So all of the voting delegates of the FNM, we're saying this is our guy. All of the non-voters who are part of the associations, we're still saying this is our guy. So I just want the listeners to, you know what, come with us in the FNM. Believe in us and work along with us because we're willing to work along with you and listen to you.
Another big thing that we have to look at, and I'll wrap on this. I don't know if you have one to wrap with. But voter registration was very low the last election, horribly low in the by-elections that we've seen.
The turnout was low.
How key is it for the FNM to get voters out? Because I think, you know, if you want a fair judgment of where the country stands in 2026, we need to get as many people out to vote as we can. I mean, do you think that from what you're hearing on the ground and from what you're seeing Mr. Pintaud do as leader of the FNM, do you think folks would be inclined to get up off the sofa if they're registered and come back to vote or register if they haven't registered already?
I have calls and text messages every day asking me, Ms. McDonald, where do I go to vote? How can I go and vote? And what do I need to vote? Because persons are very excited, and that's great. And these are persons who weren't FNM or PLP or anything, you know, because at the end of the day, if we want to make a difference, if we want to see the PLP gone, it's going to take the entire Bahamas collective to get up and go there and vote. And I encourage everybody in Angleston, we have 2 voting stations. There's the mall at Marathon as well as Town Center Mall. They're open from 9:30 to 8 p.m. in the night, Monday to Friday. And then Saturday, they have special hours where they're open. So please go to any one of those locations. Go to vote. All you need, get your passport if you're a first-time voter and a UT bill and go and vote. If you are trans, actually, they just say you need to swear.
That's another conversation for another day.
No, but quickly, but what do you think about that? That just swear.
I think this is another tactic to cause voter chaos. I strongly believe that, as well as saying they promised that the biometric cards weren't going to come out until the next election, not this one. I remember them saying that. They said, not this election. We just want you to ratify because it's a process. Yeah, but now they're saying it's mandatory.
Just to be clear. Oh, they're saying it's mandatory.
They had something in the newspaper, an ad, where they said it's mandatory for all voters to verify so they can get the biometric card. So persons are saying, what are we supposed to do? So I'm still waiting to listen to see if that's the case. But they had an ad in the newspaper.
So we need to hear from the commissioner, because my understanding was that it will not be mandatory this upcoming election, but perhaps in the future it will. So, yeah, we're going to get
on that. There's a lot of confusion, and I think that's what they're trying to do. There's a lot of confusion happening, and if there's confusion, that's the benefit to the current government. Okay? Because, you know, one thing about Bahamian people, if they're frustrated, say, man, I ain't going, I can stay home. Please don't stay home. This is not the election to stay home. This ain't it. This is not it. Everybody needs to get up, vote, register. If they say verify, go verify. I verified. You understand? It only takes about 5 minutes. Real talk. 5 minutes. Carry your voter's card and your passport and give it to them. They verify you. You walk out the door. Okay? So whatever these people say, do just do it, because they're changing their talks a lot. 1 minute, you don't have to verify. There's the next minute, there's an ad in the newspaper saying you have to, and then they're coming back saying, no, you don't.
Organized confusion.
And we cannot allow them to frustrate us back into another PLP administration. Do not do it. Do not be swayed. Do not allow them to fool you into not carrying your power, which is your right.
So just a final question. You look like someone who could excite a lot of younger voters as well. What has it been like for your party engaging the younger voters?
Well, I'm a Torchbearer alum, and Torchbearers Youth Program.
You got that kind of vibe about you, like you could get the young people out as well.
We were the first youth arm for a political party, and the Torchbearers is working very hard. They're on the ground with every candidate. I've seen them assigned themselves to various candidates. I have Torchbearers that work along with me. They're doing a great job. They've been doing a lot of community outreach. I know the Torchbearers and Grandmama, shout out to them. They gave out chicken salts to Junkanoo participants in the parade. So the Torchbearers has always been in the forefront throughout the years of any political season, in and out of season. So I think they're doing a great job, and we have a lot of young candidates coming up, and we're fired up and we're ready to go.
There you go.
Good stuff.
Thank you so much for spending time with us today. This has been a good interview.
A good conversation.
Yeah, great conversation.
And we'll have to have you back on again and talk some more
appreciate
as we get closer to
you're
election.
You're very candid, so we do appreciate that.
And as we get to the break, don't forget, it's all about KFC Nassau. You're on your way home. You're hungry. Let KFC Nassau do the cooking for you. The crunchy deals are going on. You got the one-piece box going on with the one piece of chicken, biscuit, fries, soft drink, $5.95, VAT included. You got the famous bowl with the soft drink, $5.95 included. And you got the value box. You got the one piece of chicken. You got the four nuggets. You get the cheesy mashed potatoes. You get the fries. You get two biscuits, one dessert, and that soft drink for $9.95, VAT included, right? So let KFC Nassau do the cooking for you on the way home tonight or tomorrow night or whatever night, because it's always finger-licking good with KFC Nassau. Quick break, flip side of the break. Pearlie will be in the building. We'll be talking sports, so keep it right where you got it. Don't touch it.
What you've been through, no matter what you into, no matter what you see, when you look outside your window, brown grass or green grass, picket fence or barbed wire, never ever.
John Shoes and Accessories is your one-stop shop for all your footwear needs. You will find what you're looking for among the growing collection of classic and trendy styles with new arrivals every week. John's covers the whole family and has great prices, helpful and friendly customer service. Your experience shopping with us will be time well spent. Shop with us online at www.johnshoes.com. John's also now carries small home appliances. So come on into John's, located on Rosetta Street in Palmdale and Carmichael Road West. John's, we put fashion at your feet.
Looking for a school that's international, proudly Bahamian, and truly invested in your child's future? Kids, and join us at the St. Andrews International School Open House on Saturday, January 17th at 11 a.m. Meet our passionate teachers, tour our campus, and experience a vibrant, welcoming community where students are supported, challenged, and inspired to lead with confidence. Come see the St. Andrews difference for yourself. Visit standrewsbahamas.com or call 67800. St. Andrews International School, ethics and excellence.
Crunch boring lunches and enjoy real food at a real good price with KFC's value deals. For $5.95, you can get a famous bowl and drink or a one-piece chicken box. For max value, grab a value box. That's a piece of our iconic chicken, nuggets, cheesy mashed potato, a buttery biscuit, fries, a dessert biscuit, and soda, all for just $9.95. KFC value deals have got the crunch that you're looking for. KFC knows value, and it's finger-licking good.
You're listening to Talking Heads with Naughty and Mary Jane.
Mary Jane!
Only on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM.
Kane is in the building.
Yeah! All right, all ready. The show goes on all night. Till the morning we dream so long. Anybody ever wonder when they would see the sun up? Just remember when you come up. The show goes on.
We're back at you on the Tuesday, January 13th edition of Talking Heads with Naughty MJ and now Pearlie joining us. Pearlie is in the building. What's going on, Pearlie?
Hey, Pearlie. It's muted.
It's muted. This time of year, he's working on the air fryer recipes, getting ready, because in 73 days, pitches and catches report, players report.
Oh, no.
So we got Pearlie now.
He's still he's gonna mute himself. Yeah, at some point.
Yeah, yeah, you're listening, Pearlie, but you ain't muted. Unmute yourself if you're listening. Unmute yourself. My goodness.
But anyway, good afternoon. How is everybody?
We're
there you go.
Good.
I swear, Pearlie just likes to come in like
make an entrance.
Yeah, like Oz from behind the curtain. You know, I am the great and powerful Oz.
Relax. It's a good day. The Steelers lost.
It's a very good day.
Wow.
I mean, we got a lot to talk about. Quick rundown.
You should say shout out to your good Siobhan friend Odell, who was mourning the loss in the Steelers. And
No. You know what I mean? Siobhan Riley. Lang.
Yes.
Make a hubby who's a Dolphin fan sleep on the sofa when the Pittsburgh Steelers have a better record than the Dolphins. When the Pittsburgh Steelers beat up on the Dolphins. Not that Siobhan.
Yes.
Whose daddy was the late great Dr. D. Paul Riley.
Yes.
Not her. Who sent you and her just be sending me annoying, stinking memes on Monday when the Cowboys lose? Not you two. Not Heckle and Jekyll. Not you two. Not your partner in crime. Zero shout outs. All I'm going to say is Mr. Lang needs to put Miss Lang on the sofa until preseason start. That's what he need to do. Steelers? I know. That's why I really embellishing it even more. Steelers? They stole a win to get into the playoffs. They wouldn't steal nothing else no more. That's why they got cut skin and roll out 30-6.
Embarrassing.
You talk about Saxon in your belly. My God, they had C.J. Stroud. They had the running back. They had the wide receiver in their belly last night. But you know what? You know what was beautiful? Watching Aaron Rodgers walk off the field with the who farted look all over his face. Just looked like he's lost. Looking for a hole to go crawling for the next 2 weeks to smell his bodily emissions and figure out what he can do with his life. I loved it. It was beautiful.
In darkness.
and now you can tell your partner in crime, you know, slide on the side. This is directly toward Muff Roll's neighbors. Y'all was talking all that crap. Y'all was talking all that foolishness. And Naughty Damas told you, there's a 6-game period in the middle of the season. Y'all can go 1-5, 2-4, and you went 2-4. You got lucky and backed into the playoffs. You had them Catholic priests, and I ain't got no problem with Catholic priests throwing, you know, holy water around the place, but preferably in the Dallas Cowboy end zone so we could get some miracles. But y'all had that kick go wide, and now what? You use your mojo out. Come Monday night, you get punched all up and down all over the field. Kick like a can.
I know Muff had them for chalk. I know Muff
and Muff, tonight, when things get quiet in your neighborhood, I want you to wake it up all again and scream right across the yard to your neighbors. Naughty say, wake your losing, stinking behind up. Let's go to Muff on the phone right now.
On the line. Perfect timing. Hey, Muff.
Muff.
Hey, how everybody doing? How everybody doing?
I'm
hey,
good.
Bailey, welcome back, man. You have my deepest sympathy on the passing of your two aunties. But, Naughty, I had to do what you say, buddy. I had to turn the speaker to watch this host and everything, and he's listening to everything now because what happened? When it gone to 24-6, man, they get up, they cuss me out. Cuss me out sick and gone. There's, you know, the pick six. They watch that. They gone, they couldn't take it. They didn't even watch football no more. And then, but Naughty, 5 weeks ago, we warned them. We tried to tell them this is coming. But
No. Please address me correctly in this moment. It is Naughty.
Naughty, 5 weeks ago, we said it. But Brady, come on, man. 2 field goals. 1 third down conversion. Hey, CJ Stroud was playing with them, trying the ball on the ground, fumbling the ball. Then you all take it, you all go try score. Go try. Oh, 3-0. Oh, okay, well, let me show you all what to do with this ball then. All right, come. Let me show you all what to do with this ball then. In the end zone. Come on, man. Aaron Rodgers, last game in pitch. But they coach gone and all. They coach couldn't even take
we
it.
We can get to that.
We can get to that.
So, Big Ed from Waterloo Door and Brent Sanders from Bimini.
Hold on. Big Ed off of Waterloo Door is one of them Steelers?
Two niggas I seen adding up and then I said,
Hold on, Burley. Listen to me. Tonight, when you wake up, Big Ed and that Steeler Nation, I want you to throw a couple egg over there, too, at the same time and say that's from Naughty, too. You should have told me long time that's Big Ed, buddy.
It's me, my neighbor, Brent Sanders from Bimini, and Big Ed from Waterloo Door. Steeler, the biggest Steeler fan in the country. Steeler all over your truck. All over your... Hey, he came here last night with Steeler hat, Steeler jacket, Steeler...
I get him. I could throw a low blow right now for Big Ed, you know. Big Ed couldn't carry Tiger's jock on a good day. That's why he pulled for a lousy team like the Steelers. All mediocre, middle of the road, wannabe.
Steeler every day.
Anyway, you and make sure I tell him.
If you don't see them in all black today, then don't ask why. Don't ask why, man.
And you tell him I say.
Welcome to the Lewis's Law and Steelers fans.
And you tell him. And you tell him I say, God bless the dad. Tiger was the greatest.
All right then. Yeah, man. Okay.
Tread right in Steeler head.
And the Heisman Trophy, them family, they from Bimini. I mean, they from Miami too, Naughty. That could be a big game next Monday.
You mean Heisman Dosa? That could be a nice game.
Yeah, their family from Miami too. So, Sandoval, that's their old coach. I think so. The pitcher still on in the Lewis's club. All right, then. We can link up.
There you go, man. There you go. Well, Pearly.
Naughty, we have to welcome one more person to the Lewis's. My good, decent cousin out of Machutown in Nagua. My good cousin Gerard Moultrie. Oh, he do me bad this weekend. He's come out with his Watts jersey on and tell me he gonna call me today. And I told him yesterday, I ain't gonna tease you. I can get you today. So Gerard, this one for you, cuz. Cut up can't done.
And Dexter, I appreciate you saying, man, we agree on a lot of things, but listen, I don't care if we go to the same church. I don't care if we rush for the same Junkanoo group. I don't care if we put for the same political party. I don't care if we was family friends growing up. I don't care if we related sometimes. Football has nothing to do with it. Take this roasting like the suckling Pittsburgh Steeler hog that you are. Tote it.
All is fair in love and football.
All is fair in love and football. And all you always could be was the next to lose. Good evening, Naughty MJ and Pearly. The air fryer was up too high, but now those Evil Empire, now it's down low. Preseason spring training soon start. The Evil Empire from LA turned down the air fryer to get on the air. But fix those Lakers before you worry about the Dodgers. Pearly, you know who that's from.
Yeah, I know. But my good friend Jeff, February 12th, pitches and catches report.
Jeff, I appreciate you. You are on perfect timing. Jeff always chimes in the week after football when the Dolphins gone and starts with his New York Yankee, L.A. Dodger hate. And Jeff, I tip my hat to you, my brother. But yeah, Pearly, we got lots to talk about, man. And let's jump right on in. Obviously, we'll deal with the NFL and then deal with the NBA real quick. We'll get to our picks. But Rich Eisen taking us home today with a, you know, what happened in Pittsburgh post that loss, 30-6 on Monday Night Football. The biggest thing coming out of it, the resignation of 19-year head coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers, Mike Tomlin, Super Bowl winning head coach. Now, albeit in the last couple of years, the Pittsburgh Steelers have not done well in the playoffs. But obviously, you know, now they're looking for only the fourth coach or the fifth coach in the history of that franchise. I think it's Chuck Noll. And then Bill Cowher.
Bill Cowher.
And then on to Mike Tomlin. I don't think there's anybody prior to Mike to Chuck Noll coaching that team.
Yeah.
So anyway, here it is. For those of you who are just hearing it now, but the announcement came late last night, it is official. Mike Tomlin has resigned as head coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers. And we'll hear from Tomlin in 1 second.
I always tell Tomlin, I know he's tired of that cold weather. South Beach is waiting on him.
I get that in a minute. You got me straight, Mr. Producer? All right, let's hear from Mike Tomlin.
Well, guys, today I am here to announce that I will be resigning tomorrow morning because I can't have Aaron Rodgers over here tarnishing my legacy of going winless in 9 straight playoff appearances. This clown gave me a little bit of a scare, man, after fluking out a win against that bum Lamar Saxon. So I came out with a vengeance tonight and was...
double check that clip.
Stop AI, you know, stop that.
They got to stop that clip. That obviously AI foolishness right there.
Yeah, that's AI. That's AI,
but obviously, you know.
Naughty, don't be. That's you know, our Steeler fans, you know, Siobhan and my good decent kid too much. Well, let's ease up off them just a little bit.
I got texts coming in here. Yeah, Naughty, tell Muffroll, AK out of hand. I can't wait to come home this week to tease my boy Brent that his Steeler's gone. And the Steelers get beat so bad, they get turned to Slim Ed now. My God. It's international. You really got it. I mean, when you look at it, I mean, a lot of Steelers fans are quiet, you know.
You know, yeah, they are. They have to be. But you know, there are 9 head coach openings now, I think.
Yeah.
And then if you look at some offensive coordinators, defensive coordinators, Dallas fired the defensive coordinator, Cleveland fired everybody. But I know the former head coach of Cleveland is interviewing in Miami sometime this week. So that should be interesting to see what happens.
But you have to look at it like this. There could be something very ironic in the NFC North. Tomlin could go ahead and coach the Baltimore Ravens, where I think he'd be a good fit. And Harbaugh could slide right over and coach the Pittsburgh Steelers, where he'd be a good fit.
Yeah. I think Tomlin is tired of that cold weather. I think he may want to move. But also, they pretty much said he may just move right into TV.
He may move into TV, but obviously, if Miami makes a good enough offer, that might be something to entice him.
Be interesting to see. But I think Weaver's really only getting these interviews based on the Rooney Rule. So I think he's going to probably end up staying there in Miami as the defensive coordinator. I think Stefanski. Yeah, I think he could fit in as with the offensive mind that he is into Miami to do some things in Miami. It could be an interesting fit there to see what happens.
So, well, your former coach McDaniel is making the rounds. He's a hot offensive coordinator candidate.
Yes, he is. And you know what? I think he was concentrating on that and not having the worries of the whole gamut of what the head coach has to do. And I think that will fit him better. And he'd probably go over there and probably look really good and say, and people start saying Miami shouldn't fire him, but he couldn't handle the head coaching job. I just think it was a bit much for him.
I think some people are destined to be offensive coordinators or defensive coordinators most of their life. Both of McDaniels. Josh in New England. And your guy, McDaniel, great offensive coordinators. Don't give them a head coaching position no more. They can't get it done.
And Vance too, in Denver. You know, he was the head coach of Denver, didn't do well, came back as defensive coordinator. Look at Denver's defense.
So I look at that. I look at opportunity there with Miami. They have an opportunity to hire a good head coach. But like you say, I think the GM now is going to be a major influence on that. And that was a good hire, I think. The lifelong assistant in GM, he knows the business top to bottom. I think that's a good hire. I think you ought to make a good head coaching decision from there. Obviously, you got some free agents you got to look at dealing with. That always factors in, and you got the draft coming up. Me personally,
I warn Miami Dolphin fans: don't build up hopes and think they made it, because Miami has a lot of salary cap issues. Don't have a lot of money, so it's going to take a while to clear up the books. So they can start bringing in some key players. So they'll be doing pretty well. They got 9 picks, I think, this year. So they get in the draft if they don't make any trades. So they'll be great to build up with some young players. And then you free up some money the next year, and you can bring in some veterans with the young. And so you start seeing another move maybe in a year, maybe 2, maybe 3 max, before you start seeing Miami get to a level that you want them to be. And Stefanski is probably the best person to do that. He knows how to build a team, a donkey team, into a contender, and he knows how to win.
Right? He don't know how to play Shador Sanders, though. He don't know how to play the right quarterback.
Well, he found out at the end of the season, and I don't think that was him. I think that was more management, and I think he may have wanted to do that from the beginning.
Well, we'll see. We got to get a quick call, and then we got to get our NBA picks in tonight. Texter just chimed in. How about the Chicago Bears? I told you the Chicago Bears are a very dangerous contender in the NFC. They play another game at home against the Rams, who lately have been beatable, even though they're getting the job done. I think it's a lot of points.
They've been beatable defensive-wise, but nobody's been able to stop them offensively.
But my point is, Ben Johnson is somebody who could keep the Chicago Bears in the game with that offense. They can score points, Pearly.
Yeah,
and they've won 4 games this year, coming from a 15-point or more deficit in the fourth quarter, and won 4 games.
They did, and so, I'm not knocking them.
I'm not mad at the Chicago Bears.
The Rams know how to move the ball. They do know how to move the ball.
Correct, and this, I'm not taking away from that, but I think, you know, Ben Johnson is on a mission. Ben Johnson wants to prove himself. I mean, look what he did to LaFleur. Rolled out the Packers, came back and beat him, dismissed LaFleur, on to the next one. The Chicago Bears go as their coach goes. Ben Johnson has that team fired up. Be very careful of the Chicago Bears. They win this weekend at home. They end up playing.
Go ahead.
They end up playing. If the 49ers beat the Seattle Seahawks, they play in Chicago to go to the Super Bowl. If Seattle beats the 49ers and they win, then they go to Seattle to play. But either way, Chicago's going to be in them games. Chicago could put up points. Let's get to the phone lines real quick. Talking heads.
Tell Maggie them don't get too excited about the 49ers. They can meet the match this weekend.
We can talk about them on Sunday. Go ahead there, 52.
Welcome to the city of steel, okay? But I guess it'll be Joker's Spurs.
It's steel, yeah. No, 52. You ain't got away with that. Welcome to the world of tin foil, of foil paper.
But no, I want you to listen to Big Joe Gus, right? I didn't even know the game. I thought it was the number one Monday night game. I didn't even know he was playing yesterday, you know. But when I wake up and hear Dwight Swan saying the Steelers get beat 36, I was so mad. But you ain't get a chance to rest. But I was trying to find out Metcalf injury.
No, Metcalf was right there. He just got shut down.
No, man. Who was missing from the offensive
Listen,
line?
Let me tell you who's missing from the Dallas offense. His name is George Pickens, and he's in Dallas, and he got re-signed in Dallas.
Missing from the Steelers, too. But anyhow, I know you're playing, but I don't think the 49ers can beat the Seahawks, to tell you the truth. You know what I mean? I like the Bears, but you know, I think the Seahawks can beat them. I just don't think they are what it takes.
The Seahawks have a very good team. They could be a contender in the NFC real easy.
No, yeah, they are contenders.
That one's not Dominic in it, but Mike is a terrible. He's a good coach anyway, to you put it.
All right, yeah, 52, man. Good stuff. You'll see 52, you'll see Tomlin again. Trust me, buddy. I think he goes on the sideline before the booth. All right, Pearly, real quick, we got to get our picks in rapid fire. Several games tonight, so here we go. Suns in the Heat. I like you like the Heat in this one?
Yeah.
Give me the Suns plus the 1.5. I like them in this one.
Okay.
Bulls and the Rockets. Give me the Rockets at home in the money line. They're 12.5-point favorites. The Bulls, if you want to take them with the 12.5, that could work, but I like the Rockets at home. Money line.
I like the Bulls and plus the 12.5.
You got the Timberwolves on the road taking on the Bucks. Milwaukee 3.5-point favorite. Give me the Timberwolves plus the 3.5.
I'll ride with you on that one.
Nuggets taking on the Pelicans. Denver minus 1.5 over the Pelicans. I like the Nuggets minus the 1.5 to take care of the Pelicans.
Nuggets just rolling. They just rolling without the Joker. They rolling. I like the Nuggets.
Spurs taking on the Thunder. Thunder 9.5-point favorites. Give the Spurs plus the 9.5. They're 3-0 against the Thunder. They're going to play them tight. This is going to be an excellent game. I can't wait to watch it with MJ.
There's a chink in the Thunder armor, and I like what the Spurs. Oh, not MJ won't hear this. I like what the Spurs doing. Give me the Spurs.
Got the Hawks taking on the Lakers. Listen, the Lakers ain't playing no defense. We've been losing a ton of games. We lost 10 games. 10 games. We was 16-4 when LeBron returned. We are now 23-14. That means we've been 7-10 since. And the Hawks.
I'm going to take the Lakers and the points.
I'm going to take the Hawks minus the 2.5. Yeah, that's where I'm at now. I got to go against the Lakers till they turn it around. We got to work the mojo. Yeah. Give me the Hawks minus the 2.5.
They need to pull the trigger on that Wiggins trade. That's all I got to say.
That's what they need to do. Warriors at home taking on the Trailblazers. Golden State 10.5-point favorites. I like them to win in the money line. I don't think they cover the 10.5.
I like them in the money line, yes.
There you go. That's a wrap. All right, we got Rich Eisen taking us home today. Breaking down the full Mike Tomlin-Sberg. All right, and we'll be back at you tomorrow again, Wednesday.
Can I do a shout-out to the crew down there at Geneva Brass before we get out
of
here?
Yes, definitely.
The best hog snapper I have had in so long. So big shout-out to the crew down there at Geneva Brass. It was so delicious. Thank you so much.
To the captain of Geneva Brass, I'm glad you made me get them lobster tails because they was off the chain, too. MJ made sure we were all well-fed, and I just
Well, you did that because I don't
guess
feel
your
like
house.
Crawfish.
Don't say we all fed. Just say your house. Don't
you
say we all
You were in Inagua. This weekend, we will go ahead and make sure you straight Pearly.
Got
okay?
that group of lineup.
Shout out to all my family in Inagua. They really
And again, your condolences from us as well.
And thank you for the condolences, everybody. Thanks, Muff.
All right, man. For Pearly, for MJ, this is your boy Naughty, and for Mr. Producer, we'll see you tomorrow right here on Talking Heads.
Don't let nobody play me. If you are my homeboy, you never have to pay me. Go on and put your hands up. When times is hard, you stand up. L.U.P. the man, cause a brand that the fans trust. So even if they ban us, they'll never slow my plans up.
Hungry? Well, Burger King Nassau is turning up the flavor at a great price. The King Meal Deals give you big taste, value, and options for just $5.50, including VAT. Love that BK Flame Grill beef? Grab a Rodeo Burger Jr. served with crispy fries and a drink. Or if you like chicken, go for the Rodeo Crispy Chicken Jr. or the 6-piece nugget meal, also with fries and a drink. One price, tons of choices, and flavor that hits every time. The King Meal Deals are only $5.50 at Burger King Nassau, where taste is on fire.
For fast, reliable, and impactful printing services, look no further. Let
Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life. We stand by our quality products that is second to none. Our affordable pricing and friendly, efficient staff makes Printmasters the ultimate choice for all your printing needs. We can deliver any type of print, from banners to booklets to business cards. You name it, we can print it.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
You're listening to Talking Heads with Naughty and Mary Jane.
Mary Jane.
Only on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM.
Kana's in the building.
Yeah. All right, all ready. The show goes on all night till the morning. We dream so long. Anybody ever wonder when they will see the sun up? Just remember when you come up. The show goes on.
Naughty, back at you with my free pick of the day, brought to you by the Island Game. And today is Tuesday. My free pick comes to you from the NBA. The Denver Nuggets on the road, taking on the New Orleans Pelicans. Denver, 2.5-point favorites. That's my free pick of the day. Denver minus 2.5 over New Orleans. Play it and win with the Island Game. The game you know, the friends you trust. And the Island Game always reminds you to play responsibly.
Make you mad, they treat you like a slave, put chains all on your soul and put whips up on your back. They be lying through their teeth, hope you slip up off your path. I don't switch up.
Breaking news.
Is this true? For real? This is happening 100%? It has happened? End of story? It's over?
Yeah, Adam Schefter is reporting Mike Tomlin, after 19 seasons with the Steelers, stepping down, informed his team that he is leaving as head coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers. Wow.
Okay. So, two things here. You know how I feel about Mike Tomlin.
And most of us feel about that.
The number of times that I've caped this man in hearing from Pittsburgh, PA, he should be gone. It's time. Time has run its course. It's over. You've now gotten what you want.
Yeah.
You've now gotten what you want. And the same thing with Ravens fans. Unbelievably, that game between the Ravens and the Steelers, both coaches that we were wondering if they would be back, now neither of them are. Harbaugh and Tomlin connected together. But this man, Mike Tomlin, what he has meant to the Pittsburgh Steelers, the organization, the community, the mantra of what it is to be a Pittsburgh Steeler. Listen, I understand it did not finish well over the years in terms of winning a playoff game, and fans were absolutely sick and tired of saying, hey, at least we had a winning record. I understand the results didn't end well, and I understand that you feel it had run its course. The fact that he feels the same way right now, I think is sad. I do. And I'm saddened to hear this news, because I did love his longevity. It did speak well for the team and the sport and for him. I understand why it is ending. And I do understand why he might have looked around and say, it's done here. It's time for me to get a fresh start as well. I would find it hard to believe that he's leaving right now for a TV job. I think the fact that he didn't have to think too long about it means obviously he has thought about it and he slept on it. And we're, I guess, going to find out that he told his team within the last 10 minutes. We were hearing that there was a players only meeting happening in Western PA. And sure enough, he just did in fact tell his team that he's stepping down as a Steelers head coach. I am sure there are a ton of players now by the news. He is a leader of men of the first variety. He is the type of guy that I would want to hire in 2 seconds flat. And I've always said he will be without a job for only 5 minutes if he ever leaves the Pittsburgh Steelers. We'll see if I'm right or I'm wrong. But all I know is one of the reasons why I imagine he would do this so fast is every single job that is open right now is something that, or some job that is open right now, is of interest to him. And we will see if the fact that he is now available causes somebody else who does have a job right now to lose his. And if you are somebody like the Giants, who, when you let go of Brian Daboll, and or you were somebody like the Falcons who let go of Raheem Morris, and you didn't know who was in the coaching carousel, and it's now both John Harbaugh and Mike Tomlin, the two longest tenured head coaches in the National Football League, who are now on the same job market. It is what I would term for you a bonanza. You're looking for a culture guy. You're looking for a guy who's been there and done that. You're looking for a guy who's a molder of men. You're looking for a guy who wants a fresh start. You're looking for a guy who understands continuity. You're looking for that guy. Well, one of those guys is on the open market right now. And if I'm Mike Tomlin, that had in my mind to be part and parcel of why he made this decision. You know, tea leaves about what it would take to continue on here. Tea leaves of the way he feels maybe in the community, the way he feels about the organization, the way he feels about his own abilities to affect change, all of it. Last Wednesday, he loves the challenge. I don't think this is a guy who is now going to leave for TV, like that he's going to suddenly show up and be part of the outside noise. That just doesn't strike me as that guy. He strikes me as a guy who is exactly perfect for any organization that wants a culture change and doesn't know how to get it right themselves in the building because they're hiring consultants to tell them who to look for. They're hiring this person to tell them what to do. And he's somebody who's like, I got it. And in that regard, who wants to be the next Pittsburgh Steelers head coach? Oh my God, is this a jewel of a gig? Because you know,
I'd be there for 20 years.
You know,
job security. Yeah.
You've got an ownership group that has one way of doing it, and it is a hands-off. You do your job and you do it well enough. Go get yourself a 30-year fixed mortgage. Honestly.
That's the truth. That's the truth.
Move your family. I think they're going to go with somebody young, on the young side, just well, they, like they've done before.
They can't go with anyone in their 50s.
Well, I mean, they could. You never know.
Tomlin was the youngest head coach when he was hired.
Yeah. I'm just going to say this. Who's in the top right-hand drawer? I don't know if they're going to keep the general manager either. Who knows what the Rooneys are going to do? I imagine they will. But who knows? They want to hire somebody to come in. They might want their own GM. They might want their own person. But I'll tell you what, guys.
Tell you what, man.
Two things I'm going to say here. You know all the candidates in the pros. I said before.
Uh-oh. I know where
that
going.
You should go and get this guy.
I know where you're going.
I said it before, and he is getting ready to win a national championship, curb stomping the universe. And he's from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
That part.
Do you think Kurt Cignetti ever dreamed in a million years he could be the head coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers?
Not in his wildest dreams.
He was
with Pitt in 1983 when he started.
Saying. Now, he's in his early 60s. So just throwing that name out there. I don't know if you're going to go college. I don't know what they're thinking. They haven't done a job search in a gajillion years.
Real estate's cheaper in Pittsburgh.
He's as old as John Harbaugh, 64.
I understand it. Does he want to do that? Again, he sounds it. He looks it. He is that. You want to do that? The fans would, I think, go a little bit nuts.
They would go crazy.
Or you want to go young? Again, you know all the pro candidates. And I know he's already said, you know, I'm sticking around, not going anywhere. You call Notre Dame's head coach.
Mm-hmm.
And you tell Marcus Freeman, this is an opportunity that doesn't come. With all due respect to the other franchises in the NFL that have knocked on his door, there's been a revolving door. I don't know if the Ravens have done it either, because there's been no revolving door there either.
This is a job that's going to come around once every two
decades. That's it. Yeah. This is like a comet flying through the sky.
Steelers Comet.
That's what this is. The Steelers Comet is here. Okay? Do you want the Steelers Comet? Do you see it in your... Because when the Steelers come knocking and say, we're holding a job search for head coach, honestly...
Which has happened twice.
Twice in my lifetime.
Which is insane.
And I'm 56.
Like, come on, this is wild.
Correct. I'm just throwing two college names out there. Obviously, the pro names we all know. Yeah. And anyone's going to be interested. And the craziest thing could happen. Oh. Ravens hire Tomlin and the Steelers hire Harbaugh. Let's go.
That'd be
and the Cleveland Browns go, what do you want from me? It's like the Goodfellas painting.
But Rich, the Kurt Cignetti thing as a Pittsburgh kid, let's just say Indiana wins that natty, mission complete.
Yeah, I don't know if that's his idea of a complete mission. His complete mission is to just keep wagoning people for years and years and years.
I get that, but when you grow up in Pittsburgh and you have a chance to be the Steelers head coach, that carries that's glory right there, man. I'm not saying he's going to do it, but he's definitely got to think about it.
That's a phone call. I don't think he, in a million years, in his entire life, he thought would ever happen. And if I'm the Rooneys, give me a break. Again, the way it goes is, we're sorry to bother you, coach. That's what you got to lead with.
Excuse me. Hi, Mr. Cignetti.
You know, coach, we understand you're prepping to try and curb stomp Miami in Miami.
I don't think the Rooney's approach.
With Cignetti, you have to still, even though. I don't want to piss him off, even if you're the Rooney's. But it's honestly, it's like, you know us, we know you. You know the town. What is it, town? You know the town.
Yeah,
town. All right, I don't want to pull a full McAfee.
Going downtown.
But you know what I mean? That's it. I mean, those are the two that just leapt off the top of my head outside of the realm of all the names that you're going to hear. But the Steelers are, in fact, looking for a new head coach. Mike Tomlin has just entered, I would think, the coaching market. I think we're probably 5 minutes away from somebody in our business tweeting out, posting out, he still wants to coach. I don't think he's going to show up on divisional playoff weekend and start giving you takes. That doesn't sound like that guy to me. It just doesn't. Mr. I don't know, the outside noise now becomes the outside noise. That would be on par of Sterling Sharp saying nothing to nobody when he's a player and then suddenly showing up and being part of the paparazzi, as terrific as he was at that. You know, I have no particular personal insight on it. It just doesn't strike me as being that type of move.
I can't give you all the ingredients to the hot dog you might not like.
That guy sounds like he's going to still coach to me.
Ian's phrasing was that he plans to step away from coaching.
Is that right?
That was how Ian phrased his tweet that everyone, you know.
Maybe so.
That everyone's
okay.
But I don't know.
Art Rooney has a statement. Okay, we're breaking news here. During our meeting today, Coach Tomlin informed me that he's decided to step down. Obviously, I'm extremely grateful to Mike for all the hard work, dedication, and success we've shared over 19 years. It is hard for me to put into words the level of respect and appreciation I have for Coach Tomlin. He guided the franchise towards 6 Super Bowl championships and made the playoffs 13 times during his tenure, including his career's track record of never having a losing season in 19 years will likely never be duplicated. That's probably true, by the way. My family and I, everyone connected to Steelers management, are forever grateful for the passion and dedication Mike Tomlin has devoted to Steelers football, as classy as they come. And that is not a surprise, obviously. You're talking about the Rooneys and the Pittsburgh Steelers. They're now off to a coaching search. And what is Ian's post, his tweet? Read it for me, please.
Ian's phrasing said, Steelers coach Mike Tomlin has informed the team that he plans to step away from coaching, meaning one of the greatest to do it will take a break. Pittsburgh has a coveted opening.
Maybe so. Maybe so. To me, this sounds like, you know, you say it now. So you're on the market. Unless he looks around and he goes, none of these jobs interest me. You know, he does need a break. 19 years of this is one thing. I get it.
It's a lot.
I understand.
Take a vacation.
Okay. Obviously, I'd love to see him on TV, but the timing just seems to me like he wants to jump into it.
But guys, it also seems like there are some decent openings too.
Dude, you know, Giants fans are like, please don't take a break. Falcons fans, please don't take a break.
There's some good job openings.
You know, just for two off the top of my head.
Exactly.
But to Steeler fans, man, you know, this is what you wanted, and be careful what you wish for, man, because
I
you got it.
No, this is an organization that I think will turn out all right, and they're going to wind up with a coach that